says one nation under God. Amen. And there's one God. We know who he is. Start going through your Bible and you find those verses where it says there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby man must be saved but the name of Jesus. We preached last Sunday in John chapter 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the list goes on. And I want to say this morning, I thank God for America, but I thank God most of all for Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. And we're excited this morning. We've got a young man. I'm going to ask his mom to go ahead and bring him on up. Ask Cash Bruner. He's going to come up. He wants to say something to the church this morning, and I'm excited about it. And I'm going to let him tell you all about it.
I got saved.
Now, you just wanted to come this morning. He was excited about coming to church just so he could tell everybody, right?
Yes, yes.
Isn't this great? And we thank God for Cash. Thank God for his family being here with him this morning. Amen. Give him another hand. I know giving you that at the start of the service, that's going to be hard to follow. Because that's as good as it gets.
Yes, amen.
Well, we do have some good singing. And we've got some great singers in the church. We got three of them coming right now to sing a song that's popular that you like. So if Tracy and Kendra and Donna would come on.
Amen.
Without Jesus, tell me where would I be?
morning, church. Good morning, church. I'm thankful to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. I want to tell you this morning, right when we started, Brother Joe mentioned a few things, and one of those was talking about the ability that we have to worship the Lord in a nation that we see God's hand in the formation. You know, when I tell you, often we look back and you think, well, how did it happen? How did it go down? Well, it went down because God wanted it that way. And I'm glad to live in a place like that. If you think back in history and you study a history book, you'll see that America was really the first of its kind. And there's not been anything like it since. America has helped more countries across the face of this planet throughout history than any other country that's ever been. It's not like other places. People look at America and they say, well, there's never been another country like it. There's not supposed to be. We're not supposed to look like the rest of the world. And those men that fought and died and established the country the way that it is knew that it has never been anywhere on the face of the planet like this right here. But do we really want it to? We don't, because the reason that their success is because America was rooted on Jesus Christ. There is no other place like that. You may find yourself going on vacation. You may find yourself traveling. You may find yourself doing things inside the nation. And you look up and you say, wow, my life does not look like the people that surround me. When the waiter or the waitress comes to your table and says, what can I get you from the bar? And you tell them, how about water? And they look at you and they say, oh, you don't want one of our drinks? No, we don't. Why? Because I know that if I'm rooted in Christ, I don't look like everybody else. My life doesn't look like everybody else. When you walk up and down the streets while you're on vacation, and people look at you funny because you don't necessarily look like the world. You're not supposed to, because I'm rooted in Christ. You know, people say, well, why is it that you go every single Sunday and get inside y'all's church and y'all act like just y'all do? Y'all don't look like everybody. I'm not supposed to, because I'm rooted in Christ. It's Him that lives in me. And if I'll embrace those things and welcome those things, maybe they'll see what lives in us or who lives in us, and they'll be more like us instead of us being more like them. I want to tell you today, young people, I'm not going to be up here long, but you're not supposed to look like everybody that's around you. When you go into your school and you say, well, I'm just different. Yes, you are. You are different. And the example that you put out will draw people to you if you'll just hold strong. You'll see that. There'll be people come up to you and they'll say, I want what you got. And that's true. They'll be the opposite. But rooted in Jesus is the way to go. I'll give you some scripture this morning and we'll move forward. If you look in Colossians, in the second chapter, we'll read just a few verses. Starting in the sixth verse. It said, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built in Him, or built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I mean that for you this morning. I believe Jesus speaks through those words. You don't have to go the way the world goes. You don't have to believe everything that's brought in front of you. You don't have to believe the news. You don't have to believe all the things that are on social media. You don't have to be told that you have to sacrifice what you believe to look more like the world because they say Jesus is offensive. When this life is over, we're going to stand before Jesus. That's what we're going to do. And it's okay to hold strong to that and not let the world sway you from it. People say, well, you're just old-fashioned. If that's what you want to call it, I'm old-fashioned. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for a service this morning, Lord. God, thank you for allowing us to come through the doors of your house, Lord, and worship you. God, we pray that everything that's done in this service, Lord, would honor you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to live in the greatest nation that's ever been on the face of this planet, Lord. God, we know that you put your hand on it from its very beginning. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of men and women to preserve that right to come in here on Sunday morning, Lord, and tell you, Lord, that we want to worship you and you only. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we pray for your hand over this service today, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just a few things as far as announcements go. This Wednesday, we will have youth Bible study. We've been having a decent crowd for youth Bible study. And I want to tell you, but if you want to come and be a part of that, please come. Our youth enjoy it. But if you want to come and be a part of it as an adult or as a child or anything that you want to do, we welcome you. Thank you this morning. And I believe that now we have another song coming up. I'm not exactly sure who's singing it. So whoever is going to be singing that song, please come forward. It's Brother Richard Kilgore.
I wasn't sure it was me. The verdict was in, I was in custody. The worker of justice, I just messed that up completely. Can you start that? It's been a while since I had to sing by myself, so y'all just bear with me. Back. I had it now, just completely lost it. Yep, hang on. I'll tell you what. Yeah. There's a river. Yeah, this is the one that Tom Payne has been looking forward to me to sing, and I'm sorry, y'all, I had completely forgot the words of that song. I had it, and then it's gone. There is a river has a little bit of a longer lead in, just so you know. I'm right behind you, so don't worry. She met the master.
I'm getting hand signals. Baseball season isn't active, but I'm getting it from sound booth.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted. And I'm willing to give my life. Doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who's been so faithful. To place this whole world around me. I've got my mind on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Be counted, and I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all he wants me to be. Give up the wrong for the right. No, I am not ashamed. Oh,
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Brother Richard. I really like that song, too. And it was good. And thank you, Kendra and Donna and Tracy, for singing. Everybody's going through something. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to say that I follow Jesus. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to be an American. I'm not ashamed to pledge allegiance to the flag. And I'm not ashamed to be who I am. Well, we need to stop sometimes and realize that there are a lot of things that God does that we don't have a whole lot of input in. And we're not God, He's God. Just a couple of things this morning I want to say before we get into the message. We're going to be reading in Psalms chapter number 33 and verse number 12. I want to say this. I want to take advantage of the opportunity to do this. I want to say that I appreciate the people up in the sound booth, Brother Rusty and Brother Chris Pope, Miss Teresa Davis, and also when always faithful to fill in, we appreciate Miss Tracy Davis. Works hard here in the church. And I'll say a few things, and I hope as they come out of my heart that they reach your heart. I appreciate Brother Allen and Miss Tracy. I appreciate the way that they work with our youth, and I'll say this, as pastor, I appreciate how faithful they are. They're very faithful, and they've been very supportive, and I appreciate them. I appreciate the deacons of our church, the workers in our church. I appreciate those that cut the grass. I appreciate the Sunday school teachers, the ones that work in the nursery, and I appreciate the guards we have out front with the thermometers that won't let you pass unless you get your temperature took. Different times. These are different times. And you know, and when we stopped having service about the middle of March, having regular service, I thought, well, it'll be a couple of weeks and it'll be back to normal. I want to tell you, it was brutally painful for me to think of having 2 weeks. And here, basically, it's going to end up being multiple weeks, about 4 months, going back to a regular service. Now, we do intend July the 19th to have a regular service here. We are going to have the diplomats here, and we are going to have homecoming. And here's the way I want you to look at that, and I want you to understand that, because we want to be respectful and supportive of everybody. If you feel comfortable coming to homecoming, if you feel comfortable bringing it, I promise you I'll feel comfortable eating it. But there are some people that are not comfortable yet, and that's okay. That's why when we do go back to regular service on the 19th, we're still going to have an area of the church over here on this side, and we're going to have some area over here for people who want to be separated and have more distance. We understand that. Some people are dealing with different things than others, and we're going to try to work with you. And sometimes I've gotten these questions with the executive orders that the governor has put in on June the 29th. He changed 2 executive orders. One of them expires on August the 11th, and it has to do with the hospitals basically getting government funding. It has to do with the National Guard. Then there is another one that actually expires on July the 15th. The one that expires on the July the 15th is the one that has to do with social gatherings of 50 or more. If you are not 6 feet separated, you have to have social distancing. That expires on July the 15th. Now, we're still going to be respectful, and we're going to be aware that there is a virus out there, and we're going to have an area for people to be separated, but we are legal to go back to a regular service on the 19th. And I'll tell you something, folks, I can't hardly wait. Y'all have seen those videos where the guy dances down the aisle. I would do that if I thought y'all would let me get away with it, okay? But I want to say this to those that are listening this morning. We still have some listening every week that have not been able to make it back to a regular service, and I understand that. I want you to know from my heart to your heart, we miss you. We love you. We're looking forward to seeing you. Some of you have really been on my heart so much so that I am I really am praying for you. And we miss you. We want to see you back in the house of God. And I'll say this, to me in my heart, everybody is important in the house of God. And I one time taught a Sunday school lesson on this, because I've been in church my whole life. I've seen all kind of things. I've seen people treated different ways. I've seen pastors act in ways that I didn't think would be acceptable in the local bar, much less the local church. Folks, I'm not like that. There are no acceptable casualties in the house of God. Everybody is important. And we miss you, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the house of the Lord. So July the 19th, if you feel like you can come, please come and be in service with us. We are going to have fried chicken and ham and casseroles and all that good stuff. We are going to have a sign-up sheet so we don't have 10 pots of green beans. But even if we did, we'd eat them. That's one of my wife's favorite foods. So there'll be more talk about that. So thank you. And I want to also thank you for your giving. And I'll say this about Hiram First Baptist Church. The members of this church have been very faithful to continue to support the church financially. People have sent in their tithes and offerings, and they've sent them to our P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 524, Hiram, Georgia, 30141. And they sent them through our website on PayPal. And our, of course, there's the website there is Hiram First Baptist Church at gmail.com. And, you know, we appreciate people continuing to support the church because there are expenses of running a church. You know, sometimes people say, well, they just want your money. It takes money to go and do the Lord's work, and it's not money that gets divided up among us that are here. It's for the honor and glory of God. And, you know, we mentioned before, Brother Allen mentioned, and I appreciate what he said, this nation, I believe God had his hand in it, and this nation has done more to send out missionaries and missionary work in its establishment in just a little over 200 years than any other nation in the world. You know, the Bible talks about the things that would happen before the Lord would come. It talks about in one verse that this gospel would be first published among all nations. Just give you some nuggets to think about. The printing press, folks, is not that old. You know, the printing press was a fulfillment of prophecy that gospel could be published among all nations. Then we step forward and we look at the technology that we have, and we understand from the book of Daniel where it talks about in the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You know, there are countries in the world that hate Jesus Christ. They hate the gospel. They hate the preaching of the gospel. But because of the internet and because of technology, the gospel that I preach in this church this morning can be sent to every nation in the world. And those government leaders that are anti-God cannot do anything about it. Now, if you understand prophecy, I want to tell you something. We're getting close to the return of Christ. And that's just simply a fulfillment of Scripture. Now, if you got your Bible, let's look at Psalms chapter number 33 and verse number 12. And here's the message this morning that I've got in my heart. And I was split last week about preaching this, and it's come back to me this morning. It's a question. It's a question, does it really matter if I serve God? Now, let's turn that into a statement. It does really matter if you serve God, okay? If you look at the scripture in Psalms chapter number 33 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Sometimes I think people have a misunderstanding of how to see a blessing. They're looking the wrong way, or they're looking at the wrong things. But it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And can I tell you this, a little bit about the choosing of Christ? God chose you from the foundation of the world. In the beginning, God said, let us make man. And God made man, and God wanted children. And I believe that with all my heart. And in the predestination and foreknowledge of God, and here's what that means, is God looked forward in time, and he saw you. You, everybody here in this church, every person, and I want to understand in the Greek what all means all. God saw every person, and he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God chose you, and he loved you, and he provided a way for you to be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's every person, every nation, every color, every race, every person on earth. If they would just cry out to God, God is listening. He's not chosen some and rejected some. He's already chosen you. The question is, will you choose him? Now, I want us to understand this morning. Let's look at the scripture. Does it really matter if I serve God? Does it really matter if I live my life for the Lord? Does it really matter if I believe in Jesus Christ? Does it really matter if I live a godly lifestyle, or if I just do whatever I want to do? You know, we talk about there are so many different religions, and a lot of our youth are going to college, and one class that they generally take, or they're often required to take, is a religious studies class. They're just fortunate if they get a Christian to teach that class, but more often than not, they get some liberal in there that don't believe in anything. And here's what ultimately happens. Because people reject God and they don't want the concept of God. Because if they believe this Bible is true, here's something to understand. If you believe the Bible is true, then the Bible must be true in what it says about you. That's why people reject God. They say, well, does it really matter if I live a godly lifestyle, if I live for God? Well, I want to tell you, it does matter. It matters because, and we're going to get to some points in just a minute, but I want to go over to Psalms 128 and look at verse number 1 through verse number 6. And here's the thing to understand. Yeah, there's a lot of religions in the world, but here's where most people hit a wall. They think they're God. They think they can set the rules. They can make up their own mind. And if I feel good doing it, then I'm going to do it. You're not God. He's God. This is his word. It's not my word. And I want to remind everybody listening this morning, whether you're in the house of God or listening on Facebook, I did not write the Bible. Why do people get mad at me when I open it and read it? Jesus said, he said, they hate me, they're going to hate you if they hate me. But if they love you, it's because they first love me. See, I'm nobody. I didn't write the Bible. He's God. I'm not. You're not God. Psalms 128, verse number 1. Says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, and happy thou shalt thou be. And it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. And thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Now, I got something I just want to testify a minute before I get into these points. I went and had a party and a funeral this week. It was on Wednesday morning, and I did a graveside service down there. And I got to see one of my former pastors, and I guess it's probably been 20 years ago that this pastor friend of mine moved back to North Carolina to retire. Now, 20 years ago. Now, folks, I want to tell you, 20 years have gone by. I was a young man 20 years ago. I'm not young anymore. But when I saw him, here's what I thought. You, brother, you have not changed a bit. And I looked at him, and it was just like yesterday, wasn't it, kid? We started talking about the Lord, and about that time, this is the way he gets when he gets excited. He starts raising one foot up like this, and he'll raise his foot up. He started raising his foot up, and he slapped his hands, and he shouted just a little bit. And he said, being around you just makes me want to preach, just talking about the things of God. And as I sat there and I listened to that, I said that for a purpose. I want you to understand something. He said, God has blessed me. He said, God has been faithful to me. God has been good to me because I have loved him and served him my whole life. I want you to understand something. It matters if you serve God. It matters if you live for God. He said that he would bless you if you live for him. The difference that Jesus makes, I want to give you some points to consider. And I want to think about these because it matters. When you say, I serve God, you need to understand, we need to understand what we're talking about. Number one is the area of who God is. I want to tell you something. Not all gods are the same. And I tell you, as a Christian standing here before you today, and I know what I'm about to say is extremely politically incorrect, but Jehovah God and Allah God are not the same God. And I'm telling you that based on the Word of God. Either Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's God, or he's a false prophet. He cannot be both. He's one. One way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jehovah says this self-existent, eternal God of the Jewish people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of everything. In John chapter 1, verse number 3, the scripture says this, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's God. He's the creator. He is the Lord. He has no equal. There is no substitute. There is not a pyramid that goes to heaven and you can get on one side and climb up with Jesus and get on another side and climb up with Buddha and get on another side and climb up with Muhammad and get on another side and climb up through Shintoism or whatever, ever. You'll go to heaven through Jesus Christ, or you will not go to heaven. I base that on the Word of God. I've already told you, folks, I did not write this book. It come from heaven of a man of God, the holy man of God, or was pinned down through the Holy Spirit as he sent it. It didn't come from me. And by the way, y'all know that I didn't choose to be a preacher. God put it on me. And in order for me to have peace with God, I had to do it. Who is Christ? Who is Christ? John chapter 1, verse number 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God, as God saw fit for it to be. In the Holy Trinity, you have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ came into the world to shed his blood so that any man in the whole world that chose to accept Christ could have eternal life. It's not about being good. It's not about giving. It's not about what you do. It's about accepting what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And can I say this, when we compare Christianity to every other religion in the world? And I'm saying, when I say every in the Greek, that means all. There's only one that you come through the mercy of a Savior. Every other religion of the world, the way that they believe you get to heaven is by what you do. It's how you work. It's how much you work. And here's the sad part about it. And I want to tell you something. If you're listening to me this morning and you're involved in one of these religions and you got a pastor or a preacher or an imam or a whatever that stands up and tells you all the things you got to do to get to heaven, and they can't even tell you for sure whether or not you are going, let me give you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about what you do. It's about what he did on the cross. Wouldn't it be a shame to spend your whole life in a religious group working, trying to work your way to heaven, and then they sit down and tell you, you'll only know if you're going to heaven when you die to see if you get there. That's sad. The scripture says in the first book of 1 John that we can know that we know. And I know that I know, and here's why. It's not about my emotion, it's not about my feeling, it's about my work, it's about the Spirit of God convicting me. drawing me to an altar, and I accept that into my heart, and what Jesus did for me was enough because I couldn't do it myself. Do you know that if you could buy it at Walmart, there'd be a line backed up out the door worse than the first day they opened it after the coronavirus. People would be in there, they'd be borrowing money, they'd be paying payments, and that's the way a lot of people are. If I could just do enough, I could work my way to heaven. Thank God through Jesus, we don't have to work our way to heaven. I was outside working in my garage house we live in. It's been several years ago, and I don't know, for some reason, I just don't get to talk to a lot of these people. I had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses come up in my yard, and it was a young one and it was an old one. There was a man there, he was about 70, 75 years old, and then we had one about 20, and they were going to get me saved. I started talking to him, and you know, to be honest with you, and this is sad, I looked at him, I said, oh boy, here they come. I didn't want to deal with them. God convicted my heart. He said, you got to stop what you're doing and talk to these. I started talking to them, and of course, they didn't know that my daddy was the greatest man that I'd ever known. He was a testimony and a light in my life, and he was a man of God, and he was a preacher, and they didn't know that I was in Awana, and I'd done memorized how many thousand verses, right, Miss Darla? And I started talking to them, and the Holy Spirit moved. And I asked them, I said, would you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? And after all those years, I got plumb past the young one. The older one took over, and a tear welled up in his eyes, and he caught himself. I thought that man was going to pray right there to get saved because he could not tell me that he knew that he was going to heaven. I said, brother, I've got everything I need. If I died right now, I'm going to be with God. It's a shame to go through your life and not know for sure. And let me tell you something. If you've done bad and you've done wrongs, God doesn't reject you because of it. That's what the blood is for. Put it under the blood. Jesus is the Son of God. How about the Holy Spirit? John 14, 16 says this. He said, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 15, 26 says, but when the comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Let me just, I'm going to have to hurry because there's so much coming to my heart and my mind. But can I tell you this a little bit about the Word of God? The Holy Spirit always, always points to Jesus. It's not about itself. It doesn't lift itself up, but it always points to Jesus Christ. And here's the way I believe a person gets saved. The Holy Spirit convicts you and it draws you to an altar of repentance. Now, folks, that can be down here on a boat dock. It could be driving down the road in a car. It could be flying in an airplane. It could be sitting in your den alone at night. I know one of my pastor friends, he got saved by himself in his den one Sunday morning, early in the morning, because he, just like Jacob, he wrestled with God all night. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you know who it is. These times I've asked him to come. I've said, God, move, do something. Like Gideon putting out the fleece. I said, God, I want you to show me something. Sometimes you know what the Holy Spirit says, just like it did over there to Elijah in the cave. It's just be still and listen for that still small voice. See, the Holy Spirit is what God uses to speak to his people. When Brother Richard sings, there is a river. And you get them goosebumps. I like them goosebumps. I like to feel it. Sometimes people, I think they're afraid of it. You ever been in a real good service and you see somebody that want to praise the Lord and they look around and they say, praise God. I like somebody, Brother Jeff, like Brother Jeff just stand up and say this. Praise God. We're not saved by emotions, but here's what I want you to understand. We've got something that I'm thanking God that we can feel it. 1 John 5:7 says this, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Remember what we read in the first chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word. You know what that's talking about? Look at 1 John 5:7. It's talking about Jesus. There's a little restaurant just right down the road from our house, a little Chinese restaurant. We went down there on a Sunday afternoon to get General Tao's chicken, an egg drop soup, and egg rolls. Y'all be hungry, it's early. That's what we get, and it's good food. And I walked up to the door, and they had a sign. Says, closed on Sunday to worship Trinity God. Now, folks, everybody, you know, we have people that come to this church, and I thank God for them, that sit and listen to me preach, and they take notes in Mandarin. And I sat there and I looked at that sign and I thought about this verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7, that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? Of every religion in the world, there's only one that has the Holy Spirit. There's only one that has a spirit that'll draw you. There's no Holy Spirit in the house of a dead God. There's no Holy Spirit in the house of a false God. And when they wrote that and I looked at it, I knew exactly who they were talking about. Trinity God, that's the God we serve. And I just smiled. And I said, they say it a little bit different, but I understand what they're talking about. What about this? You see the bumper stickers that say coexist. And they got the signs of all the different religions of the world in the bumper sticker. And I want to tell you something as a Christian, and I'll say this before I move on. Christians ought to set the example of kindness. We ought to set the example of love. And when it comes to caring about people, we care about everybody no matter who they are. I want to tell you something. God loves everybody. They're His children, whether they choose Him or not. They just choose to walk with Him or reject Him. And Christians ought to set the example and show the love of Christ. But don't be fooled by political correctness. Like I already said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And as I looked at that, and I thought about it, and I thought, we ought to love this, and we ought to love this, and we ought to love this. But it's sad today when you have to drill through and fight through all the political correctness to get people to turn back to the Word of God. The Scripture says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And what's difficult about it today is there's so much of this liberalism that's coming through our school systems. It's coming through our colleges, and sadly but true, and I had a conversation with a couple of preachers about this recently. They say you even have to be careful going to a Baptist seminary to find a professor, and I can give you an example of this. I can testify of it, where you have a Baptist professor teaching in a school that doesn't even believe the Word of God. And then we understand why it's so hard and so important. As Brother Allen said, we're going to have a Bible study Wednesday night for our youth. You know why? Because it's important that we put the Word of God in them. The reason that we intend to have Awana at this church is because we love our children and it's important to put the Word of God in them. The reason that we're going to have Sunday school and the reason it's important to be here is it is important to put the Word of God in them, because we have so much coming against us to fight against what we believe in that we need every ounce of ammunition that we have to instill in them the truth. And the truth has not changed. Sometimes they get way out there, and I'm going to have to hurry. You ever heard that saying, may the force be with you? Now, I don't know if y'all like Star Wars. God bless you. All I want to say is if you invite me to your house, please don't put it in and think I'll sit there and watch it. About 5 minutes and I'm ready to beat my head against a wall. I want to tell you something. There's one force. There's one power. There's one Holy Spirit. It comes from God. Well, does it matter what I worship as long as I worship? Yes, it does. We have Celebrate Recovery at this church, and we talk about a higher power. But we're very clear who that higher power is. You know, I know that some of these other groups have helped a lot of people, and we're thankful for that. And some of them say, well, just pick up a rock out in the yard. and believe that that rock is your higher power and put your trust in it. That rock can't talk to you. That rock can't come through the Holy Spirit and speak to you and wrap itself around you and help you. But there is a God in heaven that can come and speak to you. He can be with you wherever you're at. And you say, sometimes people say, well, I've been doing this a long time. I know what to do. I want to tell you something. Every person has their limitations. That's why the verse of Scripture that says, there hath no temptation taken you except that which is common to man. And with every temptation that also be made a way of escape, what I deal with as a person that's been preaching for over 30 years, and what you deal with as a babe in Christ may be different, but I still have my battles, and in order to stand strong, the Word of God has to be instilled in my heart. I heard a great preacher give the testimony of going to Las Vegas for a Baptist convention, and I don't know who set that one up, but I'd like to talk to him, because the saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, nothing is hid from the eyes of God. Nothing. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The man said this. He said, I stepped onto an elevator, and as I stepped onto an elevator, there were two ladies that stepped on with me, just following me. He said, I got up to my floor. I stepped off the elevator onto the hall. They just stepped off the elevator with me. I walked down and stick the card in my door, and they walked with me to my room. And they looked at me as I stuck the card in the door following me and said, wouldn't you like to have some company tonight? And he said, here I am in Vegas. Nobody knows I'm in Vegas. He said, but the Word of God came to me. He said, immediately the Holy Spirit that we've been preaching about, it moved on me. And he said, the verse of Scripture came to my heart and mind where it said, yield not therefore your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And he said, I looked at him and he said, no, I would not like to have any company. And he said, I went into my room alone and I thank God for the remembrance of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I'm better than that. No, you're not. You're just like that. That's why you need to know, just like Joseph did, when it's time to run. Sometimes you got to run. And if you want to have power and strength, you're going to walk with God, because if you're one of those that's trying to work your way to heaven, you'd have been in trouble right there. I didn't know I was going to preach like this morning. We're going to have to hurry. We're still on point number one. Does it matter if I serve God? It does. Try to do one more thing here. We talked about the area of who God is. What about the area of morality? America, the greatest nation on earth. Nation has sent more missionaries to any other place. Folks, we have had countless soldiers die to free nations. Storm beaches. Drop out of airplanes and die just to secure a bridge. And the only thing that we ask for as a nation is enough ground to bury those that could not return. If you look at what America has been able to accomplish, if they were not a Christian nation, I want to tell you something, we'd own half the world. Because we've secured it, we've defended it, we've walked on it, we've given it back to the people that it was taken from. And it's because of mothers and daddies that went into the house of God and the church doors were open during World War II and they prayed. It was mamas asking God to send their sons home. They were praying, they were working, and they were seeking God. Because America was blessed, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You see, the society that follows God, the society that follows Jesus Christ, is a moral society. In a Christian society, laws are established based upon God's laws. That's where our laws come from. The area of censorship is determined by the convictions and the laws of the people. And the sad thing in America today is because convictions are falling, the things that you watch on TV have changed. The Andy Griffith Show has been replaced by things that we don't even want our children to see today. the things that used to be said on the air that were bleeped out today are common. And you say, well, you know, you're just an old fogey. I want to tell you something, folks. I'm still an old believer, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we need is return to the roots of Christianity in America to have some conviction and get some of this trash off the TV, get it out of our lives, and start calling sin, sin. You say, well, doesn't God love everybody? Yes, he does. But the whole counsel of God says one day the judgment of God is going to come. And they're going to stand before God. And the sad part is we're going to stand before God. Scripture says if judgment first began at the house of God, then where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? It does matter and it does make a difference because all morality has a foundation. The question, can morality be legislated, is absolutely true, and yes, it can, and it is every day. Morality is legislated, and it's legislated by the convictions of those who do the legislating. And just because you have a person in a position, that's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that in the times talking about warfare and dealing with the things that we deal with, the other power, which there's one, the God's the higher power, and then you got the enemy. Says there would be spiritual wickedness in high places. Just because a group of men get together in robes and they vote that something that the Bible says is wrong is right, the Bible says woe unto them that call evil good. Fifth chapter of Isaiah, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords as a cart rope. It does matter. And if we serve God and we walk with God, our convictions are going to represent it. It'll show in our work and how we treat others. Like I said, Christians should be the ultimate example. And I've said this before, there's never any reason not to be kind. You know, I go to work and I deal with issues and situations, and I've said this before, and it's not, my wife understands this. I come home, you know, I deal with people. You ever had to be nice to somebody you didn't like? I have. Even people be mean to me, and I've done it all day long, and I come home and my wife says something to me, and I say, what do you want? And she looks at me and she says, you've been nice to all them people you don't like all day. Can you not be nice to me? That's conviction. Thank God for it. Thank God for it when we come in here and we say even something we shouldn't say with the wrong tone. I want to go home and feel convicted. I don't want God to leave me alone. Because it makes a difference if you serve God. I'm going to give you these real quick and we're going to ask them to get ready with a song. It makes a difference if you serve God in your work, in your home. It makes a difference in the area of favor. Scripture said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I've had that lived out in front of me. And I know I talk about my dad a lot. My dad never had a whole lot. But I tell you something he had that I have longed for, and I have. But I'm still not sure I have it the way he had it. He had a peace with God that was so rich. It didn't matter what he had. Tangibly, that peace with God overshadowed him. It affected how he treated people. And I've seen him come into the house of the Lord and worship the Lord, and there should be a handful of people there. And he couldn't have been happier anywhere else on the earth because he had peace with God. If you want to give your kids something, give them that. It's more than anything else you could have. Give them that. Give them the heritage that you serve God and you walk with God in your life. You can give them everything in the world, but if you're not giving them that, when you're gone, what do they really have? I was telling my wife this the other day. When you think about this, there is not one thing, not one thing that you can buy with money that doesn't decay. Not one thing. But if you've got peace with God and you're walking with God and you're serving God and you give that to your kids, it'll last for eternity. You see, in eternity, and this is why it really makes a difference if you serve God, In eternity, I'm going to get to sit down with my dad again. I'm going to get to sit down with my mom. I'm going to get to sit down with my little sister. I'm going to get to sit down with Brother Quinn. I'm going to get to sit down with Brother Keith. I'm going to get to sit down with Brother Woodrow Pulliam, who went to be with the Lord this past week. And I'm going to get to talk to Jesus. I'm going to be around all those people that signed my ordination paper and my license that have already gone on to be with the Lord. All the people, when Kendra and I first got married and we were members of Welcome Hill Baptist Church, just about every one of them have already gone to be with the Lord. But I'm going to get to sit down with them. I'll tell you something, folks. It matters if you serve God or not. It matters. It matters here for many reasons, but it matters there. I want to ask you to rise to your feet. She's going to sing this song. This is the end of our service. If God spoke to your heart, if you feel like praying, the altars of this church are open. If you'd like for somebody to pray with you, somebody will pray with you. If you'd like to pray alone, you can do that. But I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that still moves. He moves through this place. He speaks to us. He convicts us. He draws us to the altar. And when we come and we pray and we pour out ourselves before him, and I like this part, he wraps himself around us. And he covers us and he holds us and he heals us. If you're out there listening this morning of some of the things I might have said, and this is one that comes to my heart, you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven. You've been trying to figure out how to get there. You want to get there. All you have to do is believe. Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. It doesn't tell you all these things you got to do. You just got to accept what Jesus Christ did. As she sings this song, these altars are open. If you're out there listening and you'd like to pray, would you pray now as we pray? And at the end of this song, unless God's moving in a mighty way, our service will be over. Go ahead and sing.